From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree suit, or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. And remember, if you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. Let's start out with job announcements. Greenpeace USA is currently expanding its actions team with positions of Actions Campaigner, Actions Training Coordinator, and Actions Investigations Coordinator. All these positions are based in Washington, D.C. As a member of the Actions team, the successful candidates will work with in a close team dynamic, contributing to the development of the team's strategic and tactical capabilities. In order to achieve the objectives of the campaigns, all team members assist in the development of Greenpeace's capacity to deliver innovative, challenging, inspirational, and nonviolent confrontational activities. Sound like something you want to do? Well, please contact www.greenpeaceusa.org for further information about these positions. And if you'd like to apply, please send a resume and a cover letter to Michael Rodman of Greenpeace, 1436 U Street, that's the letter U, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20009. Once again, that resume and cover letter to Michael Rodman, R-O-D-M-A-N, Greenpeace, 1436 U Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20009. Or if you'd like to fax in your cover letter and resume, the number is 202-232-3124. That's 202-232-3124 is the fax number. And please remember that Greenpeace is an equal opportunity employer and values a diverse staff. And these job openings will be available until January 17th. All right. Another job opening in a national nonprofit seeking an outreach coordinator for a campaign to remove 4 Northwestern dams. Coordinate a major endorsement drive, plan mailings, maintain computer records. You must be oriented, detail-oriented, organized, good computer skills, and there is a salary in the mid-20s. If you'd like further information or if you'd like to apply, send a cover letter and resume to Director Snake Campaign. I guess it's this is a fax number, 202-546-8511. This fax number is 202-546-8511, or you can send your cover letter and resume by email to Kathleen, that's K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, at taxpayer.net, Kathleen at taxpayer.net. Don't have a closing date on this one, but get in there. Sounds like a great job. You can do a lot of dam removal. Here's another position, a new communications medium, the Heritage Forest Campaign is looking for a technology Internet Organizer, Heritage Forest Internet Organizer. It's going to be innovative, internet-based, communications, information technology to the max. You got a lot of stuff to do here. There is a salary from $30,000 to $40,000 or more, depending on your skills and experience. You get professional development opportunities, 4 weeks paid vacation, healthcare, retirement benefits program, and you're based in Washington, D.C. Apply to Sharon Smith, the Immediacy Internet Organizer Technology Project. And her email address is Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, at egroup.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, at egroup.org. And please, your cover letter and resume should be an ASCII text file. Thank you. And here, finally, we got a couple more jobs here. One is an Earth Day Coordinator for Bay Area Action, a grassroots environmental organization headquartered in Mountain View, California, just south of San Francisco. They're seeking a well-organized, outgoing, self-motivated individual to serve as South Bay Earth Day 2000 Coordinator. You'll do program management, outreach, publicity, volunteer coordination, and some fundraising. $2,500 a month until May 15th. Job description goes on and on and on. Basically, what you need to do is get that resume and your cover letter, and you'll need three references to Susan Stansbury, Executive Director, Bay Area Action, 265 Moffett Boulevard, Mountain View, California, 94043. That's Susan Stansbury, Executive Director, Bay Area Action, 265 Moffett Boulevard, Mountain View, California, 94043. If you'd like more information by phone, contact Susan at 650-625-1995. That's 650-625-1995 if you'd like the Earth Day Coordinator job. And an experienced activist is needed for the Biodiversity Project. You'll get paid, not very much. And you'll be working with the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project. You'll need experience with legal timber sale monitoring and an interest or a background in ending corporate dominance. You'll need office and hiking skills. No computer use involved. Must be self-motivated and willing to live in Eastern Oregon. It's a beautiful place, let me tell you. Uncle Dennis has been there. And you'll need to make a minimum one-year commitment to earn that $9,000. Or whatever it is, send your resume and extensive activist references with your phone number and mailing address to Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project, HCR 82, Fossil, Oregon, 97830. Once again, that mailing address is Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project, HCR 82, Fossil, Oregon, 97830. If you'd like more information, you can contact them at 541-468-2028. That's 541-468-2028. Here's some announcements, upcoming events. The International Shark Pelagic Shark, that is, workshop, hosted by the Ocean Wildlife Campaign, a coalition of six conservation groups working to protect sharks and other large ocean fish, is presenting this scientific workshop focusing on stock assessments of pelagic sharks in all major ocean basins. We invite fishery scientists, managers, conservationists, fishing industry members, shark biologists, marine educators, and interested individuals to join in this symposium. Contact the coordinators at owc@audubon.org. That's owc@audubon.org. That's their email address. Phone number 516-581-5268. I guess that's a fax number, 516-581-5268. That's the fax. Or www.audubon.org/campaign/LO/OW. www.audubon.org/campaign/LO/OW. Also coming up is the Earth First Organizers Conference 2000. It's a winter fiesta and the 20th anniversary hike, for real this time. It's held February 10th through 13th out in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Might not be a very warm place, but The Earth First beach party you've all been waiting for is just around the corner. The only thing is that it's not going to be at the beach, although there'll be plenty of sand. This year we are going to meet in the mystically beautiful desert known as the Mojave. But don't be in a hurry to pack the beach ball because it might freeze your asses off. Winter temperatures can dip below freezing, although average daytime highs are in the 60s, the lows are in the 40s. Despite the chill, we will be having the Earth First Organizers Conference 2000. The whole show starts on Tuesday, February 10th. Meeting junkies should show up beforehand to help work out the particulars of this year's agenda. The first meeting will be at 7 p.m. sharp. The conference continues Friday and Saturday until the afternoon of Sunday the 13th. With WTO Y2K grand juries and the painful Earth First Journal meeting at the RRR in Colorado, we'll have lots to talk about this year. Here's some travel tips. Bring your own food as well as food for community dinners and lots of water. Be prepared for windy, cold weather. Bring plenty of firewood for campfire since there are no trees in the desert. This is particularly important. Bring firewood or there won't be any fires, and bring water or you'll be thirsty. This is car camping, so bring extra blankets and contact the committee if you can bring any large canvas tents for meetings. The cost is $20. Directions are drive or bike from Baker, California. Go south into the Mojave Desert following I-15 for 42.2 miles. Turn north onto Cal Baker Road. Proceed 14 miles to the site. Come and join us on the dunes. For more information, contact Earth First, OC2000, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Once again, that's Earth First Organizers Conference 2000, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Or earthfirst at igc.org. That's earthfirst, all one word, at igc.org, and put conference in the subject line. If you need rides or can give rides, contact Delilah at 541-312-3453. That's 541-312-3453. For ride-sharing information, or kitchenwitchrune@yahoo.com. That's kitchenwitchrune@yahoo.com. There is some travel money available for diverse bioregions. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for the 23rd Annual Bay Area Environmental Education Resource Fair. Over 100 exhibits and numerous workshops for educators and parents with a special interest in wildlife, ecology, adventure, and much more. When? Saturday, January 8th at the Marin Civic Center, located in San Rafael, from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And the admission is very reasonable. If you want more information, call 510-657-4847. That's 510-657-4847 for the Bear Fair, January 8th at the the Marin Civic Center in San Rafael, California. Coming up on the steps of the Texas State Capitol on the 7th of January at 11 a.m. is the Sea Turtle Rally. A call for Governor Bush to create a marine reserve on Padre Island and mourn for 450 sea turtles dead on Texas shores. Tell Bush that the sea turtles say no to the WTO. Once again, that's January 7th, 11 a.m., Texas State Capitol Building, 11th and Congress Streets in Austin, Texas. And if you'd like more information, contact turtlesafe at igc.org, turtlesafe at igc.org, or for phone, 415-488-0370. That's 415-488-0370. Or for information in Austin, call 512-320-0413. That's 512-320-0413. The U.S. Forest Service has extended for an additional 30 days the public comment period on the proposed rulemaking for managing land and resources on the 155 national forests and 20 grasslands. Comments are now welcome until February 3rd. The previous comment period was extended due to numerous requests from the public and the U.S. Forest Service's desire to maximize collaboration and cooperation. If you'd like to contact the U.S. Forest Service concerning this process and the comments, send your comments to Planning Regulations, P.O. Box 7669, Missoula, Montana, 59807. That's Planning Regulations, P.O. Box 7669, Missoula, Montana, 59807. And electronic mail, email planreg slash WO_CAET at fs.fed.us. That email address once again is planreg, PLANREG, / WO_CAET at fs.fed.us. All right. Hopefully getting close to the end of the announcements here. Organizing for Political Success, the Headwaters 9th Annual Forest Activist Conference, February 3rd through 6th. I believe this is being held in Ashland, Oregon. If you'd like more information about this, you can contact the Forest Activist Conference. And calls to Tanya at 541-482-4459. That's 541-482-4459. Or you can contact Tanya at headwaters.org. That's T-O-N-Y-A at headwaters.org. There is some housing available. Get in touch with them quickly. And the National Marine Fisheries Service is proposing new rules to protect threatened West Coast salmon species that would provide a broad Endangered Species Act exemptions to the timber industry and developers. Under Section 4D of the Endangered Species Act, the National Marine Fisheries Service is supposed to develop rules to guide for the protection of and recovery of species listed as threatened. Oh, man. Nasty, nasty, nasty stuff is going on. If you want to read the rules, you can contact the Western Ancient Forest Campaign, and their email address is WAFCFBP at teleport.com. That's WAFCFBP at teleport.com. Or you can give them a call at 503-978-0511. That's 503-978-0511. And there will be hearings on this coming up in the near future, January 10th at the Metro Regional Center, Council Chamber 600 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland, Oregon, January 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. In Salem, Oregon, January 11th at the Quality Inn, 3301 Market Street Northeast in Salem, Oregon, once again January 11th from 6 to 9, and at the Lewiston Community Center, 1424 Main Street, Lewiston, Idaho, on January 12th, once again, January 12th at the Lewiston Community Center, 1424 Main Street, Lewiston, Idaho, from 6 to 9. And on January 13th, from 6 to 9, at the Natural Resource Center, Bureau of Land Management, 1387 South Vanel Way, Boise, Idaho. These are National Marine Fisheries Service hearings on salmon regulations. And there's lots more hearings. All around, but as they get closer, Uncle Dennis will give them to you as they come up. Okay, this is an ongoing announcement. I'll be listing those hearings coming up as we get closer to them. Ring out the old and ring in the new. The Glen Canyon Restoration Rally is going to be held at Glen Canyon Dam March 14th, celebrating the International Day of Action Against Dams and the Campaign to Drain Lake Powell. Also be celebrating Edward Abbey's contribution to southwestern environmentalism. Once again, Glen Canyon Dam, March 14th, for another dam action. All right, let's get into action news here. Greenpeace activists on an inflatable boat spent Christmas Day in Santa Claus suits trying to disrupt the activities of a Japanese whaling fleet, which they say is hunting whales illegally in the Antarctic Whale Sanctuary. Three activists use a water pump and their own bodies to try and prevent and delay the Japanese fleet, the agency said. Greenpeace has been following the Japanese fleet on the MV Arctic Sunrise for 6 days. Bad weather prevented the fleet from operating for two of those days. But when the fleet started operating again on Christmas Day, Greenpeace took disruptive action dressed in Santa suits. The southern ocean around Antarctica was declared a whale sanctuary in 1994 by the International Whaling Commission. But Greenpeace claims Japanese whalers plan to hunt 440 minke whales this year, up from 389 last year, under a so-called scientific research program. However, says Greenpeace, the whale meat is sold on the open market in Japan. The IWC has repeatedly called on Japan to stop whaling in the sanctuary and has found the data collected from Japan's scientific whaling program is not required for whale management. British, United States, Australian, and New Zealand governments have pressed Japan to abandon the program. And we thank the New Zealand Press Association for that. And in other action, a towering Eucalyptus regnans has become a mute plea for the life of the Tasmanian old-growth forest in which it has lived for hundreds of years. The 80-meter, that's about 262-foot-tall, old eucalyptus has been turned into the tallest ever Christmas tree in the world by Australia's Wilderness Society. The conservation group is illuminating the tree in Tasman's Styx River Valley every night this week with 3,000 Christmas lights as a protest against the logging plan next year. And in other action, four rail cars loaded with western red cedar timbers headed for markets in the United States were blockaded by Greenpeace activists in the Burlington Northern Santa Fe rail yard in New Westminster, British Columbia, last Tuesday. The wood belongs to the International Forest Products, also known as Interfor. A van with a banner on the side reading Interfor, selling out Canada's cedar rainforest, was parked across the railroad tracks to block the rail cars. Two people dressed as bears symbolizing the loss of grizzly habitat were atop the rail car. Greenpeace activist Rob Cooper locked himself beneath the truck. Two other Greenpeacers, Sarah Start and Suzanne Jackson, chained themselves onto one of the railroad cars holding placards saying, "We'll work for habitat." Over 100 other bundles of Interfor cedar sat next to the rail cars awaiting export to the United States. Police arrived after an hour and quickly removed the protesters in bear costume from on top the trailer. Rob Cooper proved a little bit more difficult to remove. Police had to lift the van with a tow truck, remove the drive shaft, and arrest Cooper. The action lasted about 4 hours and attracted coverage from local newspapers, television, and radio stations. The three arrested Greenpeacers were released from jail Tuesday night after being charged with mischief. Oh, boy. And one of nature's most introverted creatures will soon generate attention from the Northwest recreation and logging communities. Both activities face stricter management if certain North American wildcat is placed on the endangered species list. The lynx, a reclusive long-legged gargantuan pod cat that regularly preys on snowshoe hares, may be listed under the Endangered Species Act as a threatened species on January 8th. If the lynx is not formally listed, it is likely to be managed as if it were, said Sawtooth National Forest endangered species biologist Deb Bumpus. Under direction from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency responsible for the endangered species listings, government and private scientists drafted a conservation plan for the lynx that was released to land and wildlife managers this month. The plan calls for backcountry skiing, snowmobile logging, and road and trail building to be curbed in areas believed to be lynx habitat. That affects most of central and northern Idaho, including the Sawtooth National Forest and the Sawtooth National Recreational Area. Bumpus said the Sawtooth National Forest is still waiting for the Wildlife Service's final decision on listing before releasing determinations on how winter recreation management would be revised locally. Implementation of such strategies would not go into effect until at least 6 months after a declaration is made. The Sawtooth National Forest has a modest logging program and would not be considerably affected on that front. Both winter backcountry travel and logging are marked because of the effects they have on snowshoe hare numbers. Historically, lynx populations have mirrored those of the snowshoe hare, which are currently low. Bumpus said the problems with backcountry skiing and snowmobiling are that they pack snow, allowing animals such as coyotes and foxes to enter lynx habitat and compete for the same rabbit-like prey. Despite efforts to protect the elusive lynx, very little is known about its health as a species in the United States, and a Louisiana man will pay more than $18,000 after pleading guilty to illegally killing a lynx reintroduced into Colorado. Lloyd Mulkey was pleaded guilty to illegal possession of an endangered species in Montezuma County Court last week. He will pay $13,328 in restitution to the Colorado Division of Wildlife and $5,000 to the division's Operation Game Thief program. He will also forfeit the all-terrain vehicle he was riding and the 2.7-inch caliber rifle he used to kill the lynx. Mulkey will perform 100 hours of community service, remain on probation for a year, and lose his hunting privileges in Colorado for life. The 1.5-year-old lynx was killed by a single shot from Mulkey's rifle on October 31st near a U.S. Forest Service road. The division's lynx monitoring team picked up a mortality signal 2 days later from the cat's radio collar. After an investigation at the scene and interviews with local hunters, Mulkey was arrested. This unfortunate incident serves notice that the division and attorney district attorneys take crimes against wildlife seriously, said John Muma, Division of Wildlife Director. There has been a large investment in time and money into this program, and it's appropriate that Mulkey was held accountable for his actions, said District Attorney Mike Green. The lynx was one of three shot this year. The lynx was shot and killed in Colorado's St. Louis Valley last June, and a lynx was killed in western Nebraska in late November. Nebraska and Colorado officials have offered a reward for information leading to an arrest in both of those crimes. And a mink farmer in the state of Washington has been fined $24,000 for polluting seasonal streams that drain into the Nooksack River. During two separate investigations, Dale Marr was confirmed to have mink manure in stormwater runoff and septic tank waste discharged from his area where meat and eggs are processed into mink food for the Marr Mink Farm. Samples taken from discharge pipes and ditches draining into seasonal streams in Hedrick Creek showed fecal coliform levels ranging between 570,000 coliform colonies per 100 milliliters. The maximum amount of coliform allowed in state in freshwater is 100 colonies per 100 milliliters. Samples of septic discharges from the mink food processing area revealed other contaminants that contributed to a gray-colored bacterial mat that coated a ditch and creek for a quarter of a mile downstream from the discharge point. The Marr Farm has been ordered to clean up its manure runoff, install an industrial wastewater treatment system, and obtain a water quality permit, said Richard Grout, manager of Ecology's Bellingham field office. Septic wastewater sampling also confirmed total suspended solids at 1,600 milligrams per liter, well above the state standard of 150 milligrams per liter. Oil and grease were measured at 550 milligrams per liter, way over the 30 milligram per liter residential maximum. And Grout said the penalty was calculated for six separate violations, two of which were ongoing for several days in late August and early September. And the Fund for Animals is chastising the Neiman Marcus Company for offering a $75,000 crocodile trip and chair package for its 1999 holiday gift catalog. On Monday, the conservation group sent a letter to Gerald Sampson, the president of the Dallas-based company, criticizing the cruel and unsporting nature of this canned hunt. The gift includes a seven-day trip to Australia where the purchaser can shoot a 20-foot-long, 2,000-pound saltwater crocodile, and then have the trophy crocodiles crafted into a custom chair by Neiman Marcus. According to the Neiman Marcus ad, accompanied by a professional guide and within a safe confines of a chartered helicopter, you will participate in the hunt at whatever level you feel most comfortable. Unfortunately, the crocodile has no knowledge that he's being hunted nor any possible means to escape, wrote Kerry Ruhlbach, program coordinator for Fund of the Animals. Ruhlbach said that the hunt is cowardly, vicious, and horrendously unnecessary due to the unsporting method of killing the crocodile and the tenuous status of the species. The Australian population of saltwater crocodiles is protected under Appendix 2 of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, the CITES Convention, meaning that any species may become threatened or with extinction unless trade is subject to strict regulation. Offering wealthy trophy hunters the chance to massacre protected animals goes beyond the pale and truly earns the company the nickname of Neiman Carcass, added Michael Markarian, executive vice president of the Fund for Animals. We'll be back in just a few minutes.